Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Straight Talk for the Soul series, your vibrational, multidimensional vitamin for the body, mind, and spirit. I'm Carrie Murphy, your host, creator, and founder of this global broadcast and brilliant community of light. I want to extend a bright and beautiful good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all of you tuning in from around the world to discuss mastering the healing arts as a life path with my dear soul brother, Christoph Melchizedek. So welcome home, luminous light leaders. This is your safe haven. It is a unity community to empower you. I do want to ask my favorite question, and that is, what is the best that could happen today? Well, I really want to intend to beautifully elevate our light quotient, soften any worries or resistance or tension or heaviness so that you may truly feel waves of divine love gently flowing through you. So just relax and breathe, open and receive. Of course, we invite you to subscribe to this show. It is a free platform that you can access at straighttalkforthesoul.com. My intention with our journey with Christoph today is for divine love and joy and soulfully soothing energy to flow through my voice and this entire sacred energetic space with grace and ease, welcoming and inviting in the highest divine support and participation throughout our time together. I'm really, really looking forward to talking with Christoph about his personal healing journey. That's what this whole ascension is about. It's about embodying more and more of your soul's light and clearing all these layers of density to embody that divinity and the virtues that represent that divinity. So we're going to intend for all of us to feel the frequencies of divine freedom flowing through our hearts and through this sacred circle today as we discuss all of this. We're going to talk about the science of healing, the art of healing. Christoph is really amazing. He is a dear soul brother, as I mentioned, and he delivers insights that inspire purpose and possibility. He's a speaker, an entrepreneur, a leadership coach, a shamanic facilitator. He is also a dad and a husband and a man with a belief that creating a conscious community of change starts in our hearts and homes. He spent 25 years working with all kinds of amazing individuals in leadership roles. He's coined as a spiritual futurist. He has an amazing gift of translating ancient spiritual teachings in new and practical ways that the Western mind can actually apply. He combines a beautiful blend of arts and science. He has many degrees, psychology, physical education, energy medicine with the Brennan Healing Science. He studied informally with some of the brightest minds in shamanism with lineages from Africa and the Amazon. He did that for 7 years. He and his team have facilitated hundreds of epic experiences, gathering like minds on the top of sacred mountains, secluded tropical jungles, islands, and ancient pyramids. He is very passionate about everything that he does, and really about redefining leadership in these evolving times. He has played a very significant and special role in my own spiritual journey and expansion, and so he's very dear to my heart. So I'm always honored to have him here in this sacred space with all of us. So please join me in extending waves and waves of love and light and appreciation to Christoph as I welcome him to the show. So welcome to our sacred circle today, Christoph.
You always make me feel very nice about myself when you introduce me, Carrie, I must say. Such a beautiful job. Thank you. That's nice.
I just the memories when I hear your voice, you warm my heart, and I'm so happy you're here. And to really highlight healing right now, and we want to highlight and focus on your personal healing journey, so that people understand how your experience will really help them if this is something they're interested in pursuing. We have a lot of beautiful souls in this community who are ready to bring forth their light in the healing arts. So, gosh, where do we begin?
let's just touch on the healing arts as a life path, you know, for people, and then we can come back around to my journey within it. I feel there's no more noble calling than a path of service, and especially selfless service and healing and the healing arts. And let's face it, the world needs a lot of healing right now. And the frequency coming into the planet is a beautiful tailwind at everyone's backsides to move rather quickly through things. And it's certainly bringing up to the surface very quickly that which needs to be cleared. And I would just love to just to start by suggesting and saying in my own direct experience that choosing a life path in the healing arts changed my life completely. You know, it's just, I can't even recognize myself from compared to when I started and made that commitment. And the first tenet of that is an ancient one that says, healer, heal thyself. Mm-hmm. And this journey is really mainly about, you know, your own personal transformation, and from which the lessons and the codes and consciousness collected effortlessly get kind of changed and moved, and through you, through your clients, who get the benefit of your upgrades. Mm-hmm. And so your pain becomes your medicine, and because you end up having the, you know, the fast track code to be able to help others with that same condition, the same issue. And, you know, you understand very deeply all the little nuances about the issue or the shadow that you've been holding in your life because you've come into close contact with it. And then as you transcend it, you know, you not only have the natural code that can override, you know, their DNA, but you also know all the, I don't know if I can say this word, but all the bullshit stories that you can kind of, you know, tell.
Yes, you may.
All the BS. Right. All the BS that you tell yourself, all the nonsense that your ego tries to trick you into saying, you know all of that because you've lived with it. So you're naturally very well, you know, positioned to not only have the healing codes and the frequency and energy to help someone move through it, but you've also got a good BS meter to call them out when they are not being honest with themselves or tricking themselves with the ego. So that first step and path in the healing arts is really about healing thyself. And if anyone can make that commitment, not only will you will transform your own life beyond measure to what you recognize it today, but you will help countless lives in the planet, because it sort of works by passing a torch. You know, quite often you will do a healing session or consultation or help someone, but you don't recognize the knock-on effect that has, because they go home, suddenly they're not as reactive at home. And suddenly their husband or wife can relax more and can soften more and bring them into the more of their heart. And that transfers down to the children, and then that goes on to the community around, and then from beyond the community. So there's this incredible knock-on effects beyond our eyes that for this path, for those that are willing to be brave enough to go into those states and shadows to transform themselves and then support others to do so. So it's first up, big hats off, calling to all beings in the healing arts. You are all, you know, helping this massive transition beyond what you can imagine at this time on the planet. So thank you all to all of you.
They're so needed. They're so needed right now. I love that you mentioned the ripple effect. There is such a brilliant ripple effect from the people that we encounter, and what happens when they go home or in their community. So for all of the beautiful beings and souls in this community, Christoph, who are interested in that, I get a lot of people wondering, you know, I still have a lot of work to do on myself. How can I possibly be a healer if I'm still healing myself? What do you say to that?
Well, the truth of it is that path never stops. So exactly. I'm still healing myself as well. So you're in very good company. So
exactly.
You know, there's no starting line for this. Mm-hmm. You know, you basically started healing yourself when you were born. So then you know, healing others is very natural. But what I've noticed happening is that rather than kind of waiting to pull the trigger when you get to a certain place, just get started. The first way the best way to throw a bullseye in darts, if you play darts, is to throw the first dart. You can stand there and aim all your life and get ready to aim, but you don't actually get any feedback until you throw that first dart. So my suggestion to anyone who's getting started is that you will naturally attract people who are of a similar resonance to where you're at right now. And how it tends to work with spirit is that spirit will bring you someone to work on with an issue that maybe you have had experience at. And then as your healing arts journey continues, you end up attracting people further down the line on their spiritual growth. So you kind of start at the lower end of where people are as you are there, and then as you expand, you end up attracting a higher quality person, event, and timeline and type of client to your reality, until you, to such time you end up sort of influencing more people with greater influence. And that is a direct reflection of your own, you know, coding and consciousness and your own journey. And so as you raise your vibration, you naturally attract others with a higher vibration to heal. And there's a simple rule I say is that you just need to have a higher vibration than people that you're working on through harmonic induction. And naturally, spirit will provide the match. So you don't even have to worry, because it'll all happen organically just with your intent.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of this, I mean, to be our most authentic selves, to purify ourselves during this process of ascension, Christoph, I know you teach a lot about, the conditioning, the holographic conditioning that programs us, and you teach a lot about undoing that programming. To peel back the layers so that our true authentic self can be realized. Do you want to speak to that a little bit?
Absolutely. What I'll do is I'll speak to it in a couple of levels. First one, I can give you maybe a theoretical construct of how things actually work. Well, it's not theoretical, it's how things actually work. And then I will kind of utilize my own direct experience of how that affected myself in that unfolding. So you can kind of get both the context and kind of like my personal story and experience of it. So one of the things that, you know, you have to be aware of is that we are an energetic intelligence, you know, that soul frequency, which I know all of your listeners know inherently, coming into the physical. So before we come in, you know, we pick our family, we pick our parents, you know, we pick everything, we agree to everything. So before we start going into any sort of blame of, you know, I am like the way we are because my blimmin' parents did this and this and that, you pick them carefully so that you could grow from a soul level. It would have given you the challenges that you needed. You know, if you take a think about all the growth in your life, the growth doesn't come from sunshine and rainbows. The growth comes from the challenging aspects of life, the challenges you've had to overcome. And then when you overcome them, you grow. And so why we as a soul come to Earth is because it's challenging. It's not easy here on Earth. The density is very tough. And especially for those of you who are starseeds, who have had your consciousness first established in another star system, where the frequency is much higher, much more harmonious than here, where there's a lot of discordance. It's almost like, where the heck am I? I mean, what is this place? Do I really belong here? What is this? Everyone's a mutant. Like, it's like this, oh my goodness. And so we have to sort of look at the energetic environment. So consider everything as just being a program. Now, to get kind of how we create our reality today, I want to just share with you, you know, a very simple metaphor, so you can comprehend how we create our reality. Imagine, you know, you're like a movie projector. And if you go to the movies, which I'm sure everyone has at some point, you recognize that the what you see on the screen doesn't actually come from the screen. It comes from a projector. And if we want to change what's on the screen because we don't like the movie, we don't go to the screen to try to change it. We have to go to the projector. And so it is with our life. We don't go to our external reality to try to change things. And this is where, you know, the traditional personal development industry, with all its rah-rah kind of, you know, pumping up talking motivational speeches and stuff from stage, doesn't really work. Because all of that is trying to change the, you know, external, trying to change your life by developing, you know, external strategies to change things. But really, all of the conditioning is held in the unseen. It's held inside the movie projector. It's held at the level of energy, frequency, and vibration. And this is why people who have a good comprehension of the healing arts can be very, very high-level coaches, because not only can they spot the patterns, but they can actually change them and override them. I know, you know, I have my students, you know, I've got a lot of variety of students. I've got from medical doctors, psychotherapists, but a lot of coaches come. And the reason why they come is because they're identifying, they see the patterns, and they can talk to their clients to see the patterns. But finally, they're finding a way with frequency and energy and vibration and working with strategies I'm teaching them to actually override the inherent program that's causing the behavior in the first place. So if you can imagine this movie projector, you know, inside of it, there's the film. Well, the film's like your DNA. And your DNA, you know, has different states of being, and the energetic environment that your DNA is inside is how it expresses itself, to either be operating in the glitchy kind of shadow state where things are kind of glitchy and the film that you're seeing on the screen is kind of just, you know, not running smoothly. It might even be black and white in times when you're a little bit heavy. It might glitch. It might kind of not run so smooth. But then as you raise your vibration, you know, and more light comes through, that the film, you know, ends up coming into color and being much more smooth. And that's, and you sort of move through and pull through many gifts and talents as you start to upgrade, you know, the energetic expression of your DNA. And then until finally you get up to the Hollywood blockbuster 4K high definition version of your DNA's expression when your vibration is very high. So the quality of the film isn't set and fixed in stone like we've believed through genetic determinism, like, you know, the as laid out for Darwin's type of view, where evolution happens deterministically through our DNA. It's not like that at all. You know, our energetic environment is important, and I'm going to speak to this very clearly as we journey. Then, you know, if you can imagine that the DNA is like the film in this movie projector metaphor, well, your consciousness, the frequency coming through you, is like the light going into the movie projector. If you've got a very small pocket of light, like a little pen torch of light, well, that's not going to project a very big kind of, you know, movie up onto the screen. It's going to be quite small and contained. But as you kind of expand your consciousness and you have much more light, you know, moving beyond the light of your soul into the light of your oversoul and ultimately your avatar consciousness streaming through, it's like a massive spotlight, you know, coming into your movie projector, shining onto your DNA, which not only helps the particulation of your DNA to be expressing itself in a higher form, but it also projects out onto the screen a much cleaner picture of your external reality. So your consciousness is important. And the final piece in this metaphor, of course, is the lens through which the light is projecting what's contained on the film out onto the screen. And so this is where, you know, our energy centers come into the picture. Your chakras, you know, are like the perceptual filters or the lens within the movie projector. It's how you kind of see the world through the holographic imprinted programming of the chakras as they have been programmed and conditioned and developed in your upbringing. So if you want to change your reality and you're not happy with the movie of your life, you have to go into your own internal projector to upgrade the DNA through, you know, bringing higher frequency into it to override the blueprint that is there and to upgrade it, to expand your consciousness to bring more light into your own projector so that you can shine that out through your chakras, through the lens. And your chakras and the lens of your perceptions need to be upgraded also if you want to move past the looping movie that you're currently experiencing in your life. So whatever your life experience is today is exactly how your current own movie projector is calibrated. Mm-hmm. Let me say that again because it's quite key. Whatever the programming you have from your childhood, where you are in that type of evolution is where your own holographic projector is today, creating your reality. if you want to change your realities and move from a B-grade film to a Hollywood blockbuster film, or I don't even like Hollywood films. I mean, I think I prefer the indie type films, you know, there's something a bit more, you know, a bit more sort of sculpted. But whatever film of your choosing, you just need to adjust your DNA, your consciousness, and your bioenergy field, your centers, subconscious, unconscious minds, and that will project out to create a new reality for you. And so the first piece of all of this is, you know, not just for healers interested in the healing arts, but for anyone interested in changing their reality, is that, you know, you have to take personal responsibility for everything in your life, recognizing at soul level, you were the one that ultimately agreed to it in the first place. So if you did, you might as well get on with it to look to change it, because perhaps your purpose here on the planet is to help transcend this particular state, discordance, karma from your ancestral templates, to override your entire ancestral genetics to help evolve our species. So it's a very divinely guided mission to improve yourself when you look at it from that perspective. And then you can start to see how, well, I am the creator of all of this reality, so I can kind of discreate what is now and create something better by taking personal responsibility for all of my creations. Everything I'm experiencing in my life right now, I have created. Now, I might have created it unconsciously, but now I choose to consciously create something better. And if you can get yourself to that point, well, you're really primed for a life path in the healing arts. Even if you don't choose to work with clients, you just want to work on yourself, you have to take personal responsibility for everything. Mm-hmm. And once you do, you can go back to your past to recreate the future. So let me just pause there before I start to go back into the next piece, which is, let's go back to the childhood. Let's go back to what happened. So before I do that, Carrie, let's just tap in with you to see if you have any questions or comments regarding the metaphor.
I love it. I think it's a brilliant metaphor. I don't have any questions. I'm going to let you proceed. I think we have a large group here who is ready to hear the next piece.
Beautiful. Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for following along with me. Let's now go back into childhood, and I'm going to share, you know, my own experience in my childhood. But I want you also, as I'm doing that, and I'm going to be also doing it with the lens of the, you know, the parameters of how a soul and a physical being gets conditioned. Okay. And from that conditioning, you know, how one turns into an adult with perhaps some of the perceptions and beliefs that get formulated based upon some of the fragmentation that happens. So as I'm doing that, please just take a moment to tune into your own upbringing as I'm sharing pieces of my own. So first up is that when I'm looking at someone's evolution, I'm looking at really the evolution of the soul. I'm really looking at their kind of divine essence. And I'm looking at how the frequency meets the physiology. And the starting point of where this happens is when the sperm meets the egg. Right back then, in that moment, in the moment of conception, what is the state between the parents? Is it a higher frequency love state? Is it kind of more based in the lower energy centers of desire? Where is that particular state at, and what is the conditions in the mother's womb? Because we are growing not only in the womb of our mother, but in the womb of our grandmother. And we're growing in the womb of our grandmother because our mother's egg was with her, developed in your grandmother's womb. So all the frequency, not only that your mother had, but all the frequency and that your grandmother's physiology, right? How was your grandmother at the time she was, you know, growing your mother in the womb? That had an influence on the egg that you grew out of. So you can kind of see how these kind of lineages get set up. Now, from the moment then you're in your mother's womb, the first frequency is hitting your physiology. So I want you to take a moment to tune into perhaps how your mother was during the conception phase and the gestation phase of you in her womb. For example, in my own life experience, you know, I know that my father, he was, you know, a little bit alcoholic and a little bit highly strung and probably angry, right? So he wasn't smooth, and I know this from my childhood upbringing, where he wasn't smooth at all. I was completely fearful of my father as a young child. I didn't know when the next explosion was going to come. I was always on eggshells and tiptoes, you know, kind of around him. It wasn't much softness there. So if I experienced that, you know, as my child, perhaps my mother didn't feel quite safe, right? So as a consequence of being in that environment in the womb where that frequency of fear is hitting my physiology, right? So they're probably arguing a little bit. They're probably in a little bit of kind of discordance. You know, that uncertainty and fear is hitting my system and my consciousness as a young fetus growing and evolving into a being. And as it goes on, you know, most of us who are a little bit older come into the mainframe medical world through the hospitals for birth. Thankfully, today there's a lot more consciousness, you know, in and around things. And we brought kind of our children into the world with home births just at home. You know, Noah, just Leah and I with Noah, we just had one, you know, sort of midwife doctor type person just sitting meditating. And then with Aurora, we free birthed her. It's just Alea and I ourselves. And so kind of, you know, you can imagine the hospital first up, bright lights, kind of like, you know, a lot of fear in the hospital. And then most of us have come out with the first major wounding for humanity, because the Western culture doesn't really have any reverence for the placenta. And all indigenous cultures have a high reverence for the placenta, which is the holy of holies. And the placenta contains all of the 12th dimensional, 12 tree of life. If you actually open up a placenta, you see it's actually a tree with the way the fibers and the way the whole beauty of it is contained. It looks like a tree. And it's the tree of life, the organic tree of life. And what happens when we come out into the world, certainly for myself and probably most of you, we have that umbilical cord cut. And what does that do? It creates the first wounding of separation, because the placenta is our energetic twin in the womb space. It's all that we ever know. It's nourished us. It's giving us our life. It connects us to source. And what happens is that we have that cut. And so we immediately get the wounding of separation and abandonment. And then as we come out, not like we do have is today, probably when I was born, a little bit of time with a mother, but then we're put in a separate cot, possibly even in a separate room. You know, like I can remember, you know, this, like all the rooms with all the babies in, with cots mm-hmm. with the names on them, separated from the mother back then.
Right.
So you're this, you know, new sensitive young being who's had 9 months of conditioning of different frequencies in your environment at home, placed into your physiology. So take a moment, all of you, to think, what was the predominant frequency hitting your physiology in that 9 months? Was it fear? Was it anxiety? Was it worry? Was it grief? Was it sadness? Was it, what, you know, was it worry about money? And you can then track how your looping thought forms today, if you have generalized anxiety about the future, come and stem often from that first kind of 9 months in the womb and year to two in life. In that first year, your first chakra is attempting to anchor itself into the earth. But if you're fearful and there's a lot of fear or anger or anxiety or worry in the household, in the field between your parents, how was the field between your parents? Was it, you know, harmonious and loving and kind? Or was it conflicting and kind of angry and kind of frustrated and are resenting? All of those things are frequencies that your energy centers are picking up. And in the first sort of year to two of your life, it's the first chakra that's really kind of picking up that kind of, you know, frequency. And if you are not held in a, and let's talk it from a soul perspective, are not held in a loving kind of, you know, kind, caring, all the time, living, you know, co-sleeping with your parents, so you're always in their field, always feeling safe, always feeling connected, that first chakra you know, never really gets that chance to anchor and ground in and ground in cords into the earth. And so therefore, as an adult, as you grow up, you grow with the perception that I'm not safe in the unknown. And so as we come into an adult, you know, with all of that kind of first chakra issues, you know, when it's functioning correctly, we will metabolize energy from the earth that allows us to connect into that Schumann resonance in the earth pulse, and the psychological role of the energy centers to feel safe and to ensure that we survive physically. It's about the self-preservation. So when this chakra does not metabolize the energy or frequency suitably because of the energetic conditions in our household, the energetic environment wasn't kind of calm, our soul didn't ground its energy into into us as a young baby deep enough. We didn't get enough energetic feed. We don't get enough energetic feed coming into the earth. Therefore, as you grow older, you're always on high alert, never feeling truly connected to either being in your body or safe on earth. And this includes the big one of not feeling safe in the unknown future. And this is a big piece because this means that you're never really unable to follow your heart is longing because you're always worried about whether you will be safe. And this plays up whether you know you're not in the right relationship, but you don't have, you can't get yourself out of it because you don't think you're going to be safe by yourself, or you're not in the right job and you think that you just can't be safe on your own in the world. It's not actually true. It's a perception that you have gained from that first sort of year or two of life. And you end up becoming often worried about the future, projecting out into the future lots of what ifs and buts and negative scenarios playing out in your mind. And all of this stems from the first 18 months, you know, the first 9 months in the womb, the first sort of year 18 months in your home. And therefore you end up freezing into your actions of your reality you want to create for yourself going forward, because the inherent fear is that, oh, I won't make this work. I can't make it safe. I don't have enough money. I won't be safe by myself. Mm-hmm. And so the big reason why many don't follow through on the plans that are aligned with your highest potential is because it's taking you out of your comfort zone. And that comfort zone means that you're going to be in the unknown. And what the ego wants is the ego's demanding to be safe in the known. So therefore, because of that first 18 months, you're always out of your comfort zone. You never really feel safe in that out of the comfort zone. So the ego deficiencies get triggered of that first chakra, which were developed in the womb in the first year of life. And that development, you know, creates that kind of discrepitation, and I might call it generalized anxiety. And I absolutely had this in massive amounts growing up, where, you know, and in my adulthood, you know, worried about the future, worried about finances, worried about money. And what that frequency does, it ends up just creating more of the same. So I ended up being trapped in a corridor for many, many years of not being happy, being stuck in a relationship I knew wasn't right for me for many years in my heart, but didn't have the courage to get out because I didn't feel safe. Also playing out in other areas like finances, not being truly in the fuller flow of abundance because too busy worried about money for survival. And then utilizing kind of substances and alcohol and drugs to numb the pain of that lack of safety I was feeling. So, you know, I can totally, you know, resonate with all of you no matter where you're at, because I have come from so far back. You know, I've come from a very far way back. So, you know, people can often say it's all right for you, Christoph. You know, you can speak well, you can go off and these. I never used to be like this. I had to work myself through it steadily, overcoming all my discrepancies and egoic conditioning, certainly around that first energy center, and I'll go up amongst the others in a minute, creating kind of the fear that the world's not a safe place, and all those interactions in my adulthood through the lens of, you know, I'm not safe. And ultimately, as I go through the next two energy centers, you'll see how this kind of works. So take a treat into a moment, for all of you, to see, you know, how is your first energy center perceptions looking for you? Do you feel that your first energy center is a little bit more overactive, where you're a little bit overactivated in survival, but more overly focused on financial survival, emotional, physical survival? You know, are you always in the middle of some sort of urgency and emergency? you know, and what happens is quite often people live their life in that kind of state of emergency, phase lock, stuck in the energy of, you know, solving problems, rushing around trying to, you know, calm everything down because they're always in high alert. Mm-hmm. So when that first chakra is overactive, it's kind of great in helping you to survive. And it's great at helping you to survive through emergencies, but if it's constantly open all the time, you're overly physical, you're overly focused on survival, you're overly focused on protecting oneself, and that has been directly coming from the first couple of years of life. And then kind of, you know, if we take a look at the other side of the coin, maybe the first chakra is a little bit underactive, is maybe closed or blocked. It's like you're kind of shutting down your life force energy. You're kind of ignoring it. You're moving it to one side. It's quite often we see a closed first chakra of people appear in people when there's a lot of emotional or kind of physical pain. So it's not really about being in survival per se, but being in denial of their own life lessons. And the denial of their own life force kind of gets shut down. So all of that kind of gets kind of set up and happened in the first kind of couple of years of life regarding the perceptual portal of the first chakra. And if we go back to our movie projector metaphor, that is the lens. And you've got seven different lenses on how you're perceiving kind of life and creating life. And that was the first. Mm-hmm. So if fear has been holographically programmed into your system from conception, into the first layer of life, and as a sensitive soul and consciousness, you did not feel safe enough to be able to come down and ground into the physical dimension, most likely your consciousness doesn't feel safe enough to arc its energy and consciousness and root it into the earth today. And that is playing out in your inability to take risks and to really trust your heart, because your mind is trying to work it out how it's going to all come together. But spirit doesn't work linear. It works, you know, sort of holographically through the lens of the heart. You can never work it out with your mind. You have to trust that you're going to be okay in your in the unknown space, so that you can move through this, I would call it kind of no man's land. No man's land is the space between when you set an intention for action, you step into action, but the reality has not been created yet. You have to sit in that space of no man's land for a while in full trust that it is going to shift, as long as you hold the higher frequency of harmonics to attract it into your reality. But what happens with most people, because that first chakra's programming, they step into no man's land, fear comes and lack of trust that it's going to actually manifest and their physical reality is going to shift and change, and they end up stepping back into their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. So let's just take a pause there and check in with you, Carrie. You know, any questions about kind of the upbringing regarding the first chakra imprints around safety and survival that formulate into not feeling safe and into conditioning as an adulthood?
No questions. I can just feel, you know, just the resonance from what you're sharing. I think a lot of people can relate to a lot of what you just shared. And I was grateful that you shared your personal experience and to see you now and to hear you now, is exciting for a lot of people because.
Yeah. You know, it is exciting. Oh my goodness. Yes. And, you know, it's like, okay, here's a little piece. When I found out about energy and energy healing, because like I used to be a personal trainer for many years. I used to, you know, work in the healing art and the training arts, I would call it. Right. So I'd already come from a life of, you know, working with people for many years, 15, 20 years, training people. But my self-esteem, you know, which we'll cover in the third chakra, you know, I kind of, you know, didn't have a big self-esteem, but I would pump myself up and blow up my ego to be bigger than actually I was, to try to get other people's perceptions of me to think positively about me. I would sort of go into a subtle manipulation of their perceptions to pump myself up to sort of be bigger than I was. There's kind of two ways you deal with self-esteem. You either belittle yourself, put yourself down so that people don't, you know, judge you and you put the first hit on yourself. Or the other way that you go is you end up, you know, pumping up your kind of ego a little bit so that other people's perceptions are bigger than where you feel you're at. I kind of did the second one. But underneath, I was always anxious and worried and full of anxiety and, you know, never sort of steady and stable. But when I found it, because I was always, as a trainer, looking for the fastest way to get results for my clients. And I became really good at it. In fact, I became so good, I ended up teaching all around the world, how to get results. I must have taught personal trainers in about 40 different countries around the world towards the end of my fitness career, going to all the different conferences. It was all about, at the point I was one of the first ones to come out with cleansing, you know, rather than dieting and focusing on nutrients rather than calories and teaching cleansing detoxes and just getting ridiculous results for people very, very quickly. And so that became popular around the world, and nothing really changed in that. I was always looking, I was a little bit inherently lazy, but I was very dedicated into sort of becoming the best version of myself. And I recognized that my emotional side, you know, I was really kind of emotionally shut down. And part of that was from my upbringing, my father. Also, when I was older, when my mother died, I had a massive trauma when she died. I lost my mother, and then at the same time, I was really in love with a girl. And, I found out a few days after my mother's funeral that she was having an affair through the last 3 to 4 months, mm-hmm. 5 months of our relationship, all the time I was helping my mother transition with cancer. Mm-hmm. So I had this, like, just massive trauma, and it was like I just lost all trust in the feminine. And I kind of made an agreement with myself never to trust woman again. And I went on a very kind of dark night of the soul after that, and I had many years kind of, you know, stuck in a non-loving relationship because I was too scared to get out, not feeling myself. I just knew I was broken. You know, the young boy that was, that I feel inside myself today, was very far away. Now I've, you know, integrated and done the work to reestablish the essence of the young boy that was always there within me, but just had too much trauma. And so, you know, when I started to try to find ways to be able to work and unlock myself again, because I was very locked up, operating mainly from will and mind, you know, there wasn't enough much emotional love in there. I knew somehow I had to find the keys to get myself back to where I knew I could be. I knew I was very far off my life path. And that's a very kind of upsetting thing for the soul, to know that you're far away from, you know, your life path. Mm-hmm. And I knew I had to try to crawl my way back from this hole I'd got myself into. And I was, you know, really quite hedonistic, full of addiction. There was addictions on my mother's line with alcoholism. There was addictions on my father's line with alcoholism. You know, and so I was quite tapped up with addiction as well, across alcohol and drugs. And just, you know, numbing myself from the pain. So the reason why I share this piece with you is that because no matter where you find yourself, there's always a way out. You just have to sort of, you know, really want to go for it.
And be easy with yourself. I'm grateful you're so transparent, because it helps everyone. Just be easy with yourself no matter what you're going through. So I appreciate your transparency and sharing all of this.
You're so welcome. It's just, this is like a beautiful story, not just, mm-hmm. you know, for myself, because I really appreciate my life, because I came from so far back, you know.
Yes.
And so this is why, you know, when you work at it and you get it, you really appreciate it. That's like such the beauty of it. And all of the things that you've always wanted and longed for, this is your high heart speaking to your longing. You know, the way to get there is through the healing arts, through energy medicine, energy healing. And so when I found out about that and I saw the results I was getting, I decided to fully commit. And that's when I enrolled into what I felt was, you know, one of the best healing schools I could find at the time, and that was Barbara Brennan's healing school. And I was fortunate enough to be taught by her, you know, while she was still teaching for four. I commuted to Austria for 4 years from London to go through the training. And I didn't know why I was going through it at the time. I just knew, my heart knew I needed to go through this. And I got a very rude shock the first week when I found out that we were actually expected to actually heal ourselves. I thought I was just going to learn techniques to help other people. Oh my God. I'm like, what? I have to actually work on myself? Are you kidding? It was so funny. But through that container, I began to notice first up subtle changes in myself, you know, and softening, a beautiful softening, and gradually, you know, and it takes time healing. It's not going to happen in a week or even a year. It's healing something I'm still going through. I'm still chasing a couple of pieces of myself that is still not, you know, integrated into me from my childhood. So it's an ongoing path, but it keeps getting better. And then as I came out of the Brennan School, I was very drawn to the shamanic template. And that's when I started to find out about plant medicines. And then I began diving into the plant medicine world. I'm not saying this is for everyone. It's absolutely not. It's you know, it was for me. It was my path, and it certainly helped. And so, you know, I think there's a funny T-shirt that you can get in a Ketos where I used to take people for the Amazon trip. And it says, you went to Harvard, I went to ayahuasca. So I started working with these different plant medicines, ayahuasca, iboga, and they provided kind of what I might call shortcuts and fast tracks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And go much, much faster. And, you know, while it's not everyone's path, for me, it worked great. And then I began, you know, because of, you know, the healing skills I had acquired and my previous 15, 20 years training people, I was naturally kind of set up to work in this way with people. So I began taking people to the Amazon and, you know, supporting and helping facilitate the iboga, you know, sessions, and just seeing amazing, amazing life-changing results. And that's when I committed, you know what, I'm going to completely leave the fitness industry and go cold turkey. I'm just going to go and try to find a way to make the healing arts work. I'm going to try to find a way to, you know, make my life work by being full time in this, because the transformations people are happening are too incredible. I need to dedicate my life to helping people shift. And so the energy healing and certain techniques allow one to not only spot the patterns and how things are working in someone's field when you have an intellectual framework for it, but to be able to actually energetically change the flow of frequency, you know, to restructure a chakra, to restructure organs, to be able to, you know, move frequency that's blocked in the system very, very precisely. And this is kind of one of the things I'm excited about the neo-shamanic society that I'm building and creating, is the neo-shamanic society is really about creating new level shamans who understand 12th dimensional physics and how kind of the universe works, but in a very contemporary, down-to-earth, pragmatic way to get real results with people, you know, to help move them forward. And, you know, it's all about coming back to the childhood, you know, in the early years. And I know we have to finish soon, so I want to get through the second and third chakras, because, you know, the first three chakras are really the foundation to everything. That's where, you know, the house is kind of built. And the second chakra, as it starts coming online, you know, as one sort of is going a little bit older and into life, and, you know, you're kind of working through sort of from about maybe 6 months to 2 years of age, you know, really, if the first chakra's wound was really all about kind of security, core wounding, separation, the imprinted programs are all around illusion, anger, frustration, delusion, materialism, greed. The second energy center is a bit different. It's kind of, you know, being programmed more with kind of core wounding of guilt, and the ego desires, of course, is obviously the sexuality piece, and all the imprinted programs around lust and fantasy and jealousy and distraction and guilt and shame, depending upon how you grew up. So this energy center gives us the perception around how our relationships are. And while the physiological function of that energy center is our sexuality, movement, connection, creativity, you know, how it is in our household is how we kind of get programmed. And so in our household, a lot of discordant sexuality holding through my father through the reptilian program that was coming through him. You know, I was kind of grew up into an adult kind of highly sexed. So I not only had alcohol and drug addiction, I had sex addiction also, like everything. So that was because of what was in the home, you know, when I was young. So that just tune into your own household between 6 months and 2 years of age. What was that, you know, love and container like with your parents and the sexuality with your parents? What kind of frequency is hitting your physiology, you know, around that time? And, you know, while you're moving out from these issues of safety and survival and the family unit in the first chakra, the second chakra is all about you becoming part of the family unit. It's here in your physiological and psychological development. You move into bonding with the group structure you're a part of. And the whole psychological function around this whole piece is sensuality, sexuality, creativity, movement, connection. It's all about your emotional identity. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting to explore what's going on in someone's life around them, because you get to see what kind of energetic frequencies are planted into the energy center, mm-hmm. what sort of imprinted programs are kind of there that go on to affect them in adulthood. So one of the questions I always ask clients is, were your parents religious? Because, you know, chances are if they were, you know, good old Catholic, mm-hmm. Catholicism gives you a decent dose of guilt and shame. So
a decent dose. Sure that, yeah.
That mm-hmm. chakra is, you know, where were they? Were they maybe Muslim, you know, in which case is another lens of all of that. Or, you know, so all of these things affect, you know, the corresponding chakras, and so all of this kind of, you know, maintaining that balance, and that's something I had to work through. And it's something, you know, I had to work through with my beloved Leia also. We were, both of us had to really work hard on our sexuality from our parents, which didn't line us up to be in a good kind of, you know, coherent state together. We had to sort of work through a lot of kind of bringing that energy up into our hearts, because we wanted to really, you know, use our relationship as a, you know, to walk the path of Tantra. And Tantra mm-hmm. is not just about sex. It's about personal growth and soul evolution. It's about being in a relationship with someone for the purposes of growth. And so, you know, we had to work hard on kind of bringing that energy up and to work through our own discordant programming, you know, around sexuality. And so kind of, you know, it was, this is why they say twin flame relationships. You think it's all going to be fine and dandy when you finally meet your twin flame. It's going to heighten every little discordance you're carrying in your field, and you're going to mirror it to each other. Mm-hmm. So in Alea's upbringing, you know, she had to deal with kind of patriarchal, you know, energy with regards to predatory type energy. So she was kind of quite triggered by the frequency I was holding that I got from my father. So we had to kind of work through all of that and our dance of, you know, moving into more sacred sexuality. And so that was like, you know, of all the different kind of addictions working through, alcohol and drugs, you know, sexuality is a big one. That's like a tough piece to kind of get, because there's so much inbuilt drive in there. And so, but when the upside of it is when you do that, when you bring that energy up, And you program it so that the second and fourth are harmonically balanced together, you know, you're moving up to more, you know, that love-based sexuality, which is all in that frequency and softness that really then allows you to manifest magically. Oh, my goodness, your manifestations just go way up, you know, when you overcome perhaps an overactive second chakra, right, or an underactive. So I had an overactive second chakra and Leia had an underactive. And so we had to work ourselves through in our relationship, kind of, you know, building and blending ourselves up to be balanced so that we're both balanced and charged. And today we're in a really great place with kind of all of that.
And a lot of people were congratulating you, by the way, in our webcast about just your loving family, your children, your wife. So I wanted to pass that along to you while you were bringing that up.
Oh, thank you, everyone. You know, and if there's one thing I'm incredibly proud of my life and our life, is my greatest success isn't anything I'm doing in the world other than my family. You know, mm-hmm. my family's my greatest success. It's mm-hmm. like, it's just now today, it's beautiful, it's harmonious. And it wasn't like that in the first, you know, year, 18 months. We had to work through a lot, but we did it. And we're really in a great place now. It's like we're really coherent, everything's smooth. And I tell you what, we really know, you know, what it takes to grow. And this is why, you know, at some point Alea and I are going to come out and we're going to teach couples.
I think that's a wonderful idea.
We're almost ready for that. I think maybe next year we will offer a program in couples training, because I think guys kind of really connect with me. I'm pretty pragmatic, down to earth, and people just everyone loves Alea. They want to hear from her all the time because she's so soft and
it's amazing how much you have softened in the 5 years I've known you in this lifetime.
It's been all the mechanism of dismantling defenses.
Yes.
It's been through this path of tantra because, you know, I was growing quite quickly without Alea in my life, but when I came together with her, that was the fast track, right? Because, you know, we had Noah very early on in our relationship. And so it was kind of like, and after 4 months, we were pregnant and we're kind of like, okay, well, we really need it. You know, that was the commitment then, you know, well, we're here together forever now. We've got to make it work, right? So we worked through all of that. And you know, so that was kind of, you know, both her background with her, you know, underactive second, my overactive second, coming together to find harmony and balance. And then the last piece I think would be good to share on this little energetic expose of conditioning is third, you know. And the third energy center, you know, it starts coming online around 18 months to about 42 months of age. And most of the core wounding here is shame, you know, but the ego's desires recognition, right? Wants to be recognized, wants to be seen, you know, and how do you learn from your parents? Is love conditional, right? So I learned that love's probably conditional based on performance, right? So I would get positive reinforcement feedback to good grades in sports. So I got to learn that maybe love was a little bit conditional in that side of things. Or in my self-esteem, because my father was so harsh on me and I, you know, couldn't kind of, I didn't know whether I was going to get the rod or a hug, right? Mm-hmm. Basically, you know, I kind of, you know, grew up with a lot of suppressed self-esteem where my self-esteem wasn't high. And so therefore, when my self-esteem was low, I needed to manipulate other people's perceptions around me because I was highly kind of geared towards how other people viewed me as the source of my self-esteem. Mm-hmm. So I just invite everyone right now to tune into themselves and, you know, are you concerned with other people's opinions of you in your decisions and your actions in life? And then, because if you are, what happens is you enter into so these little kind of subtle energetic manipulations of how you manipulate other people's perceptions, either with pulling or pushing energies or with kind of, you know, subtle guilt mechanisms or trying to, you know, build yourself up higher than you are just to get kind of other people's recognition so that you can kind of have it, you kind of something coming from external to you. And that is the externalization of the ego's desire of recognition to heal the kind of inherent shame about how you feel about yourself. And so ultimately what happens as you grow strong in this, you end up becoming bulletproof of other people's opinions. And that bulletproofness allows you to follow your heart wherever you want to go, and you don't need other people's opinion to give you validation of your own internal compass. Right. And this is a real core one, because then you can go anywhere in life. And for us, we had a real test on this recently. We came to New Zealand, as many of you know. We got involved with the Green School, sending our kids here. We did a tour around New Zealand. And recently, the Green School got some government money as a COVID-19 rescue package for many businesses around the country. For building kind of infrastructure. It was an infrastructure grant to businesses. And they got some infrastructure money to build some of the buildings on their site. And it created a massive political storm as some people who were very unhappy that a private school got funding when there's many public schools that, you know, desperately need kind of construction and building. And it's true, they do. But that money didn't come from that. But in which case, there was a lot of media attention. And somehow, Alea and I got dragged into the national news. I suddenly woke up one day, we're on national news, and we're on every sort of major media outlet with talking about the kind of abundance and DNA meditation we did, the crystal bed that we buried in the Green School for everyone, and the New Zealand tour, and my thoughts and insights on how the coronavirus might have been an engineered piece. So basically we were getting hammered in the media to try to discredit the Green School. And we looked at each other that day, and we obviously spent a day reading through things, but actually our self-esteem and self-concept didn't shift. We didn't like suddenly collapse into poor me or go into full anxiety or try to worry about anything. Like, we had loads of reporters trying to contact us, and we just didn't even bother us at all. So we didn't have to get our point across to try to defend ourselves. There was no point. So that there gave us the test that, you know what, the work that we've been doing on ourselves is really strong, because we've been really tested here, and we didn't even blink an eye. And so each of you will have your own tests, you know, where, you know, each of your energy centers are being tested, and you'll get that kind of sense of where you're at with all of those things. So just to sort of, you know, I know that we're at the top of the hour, and I do have a call to get on to, so I just want to sort of bring this back around into a kind of like a summary statement, is that, you know, everything in your life and your own journey in healing is really, and this is where I feel that my message to light workers in this community, because I know there are similar community that I've been in previously, is that we often are chasing kind of the latest activation or the highest frequency thing or chasing kind of the light. But really, I can honestly tell you from my own direct experience of life that the way to improve your life isn't chasing the light. It's turning around and going into the shadows. And why that is because when you clear some shadow states and some wounds in the field, and the wound is creating this little piece of separation, which is holding a very deep emotional trauma and emotional pain, your whole life, your whole energetic and consciousness field has been pushing energy away from coming into contact with that wound. Anytime that wound shows up in your life, I'll give you a quick example. You're a young girl, your father's kind of, you know, having affairs. He ends up leaving the house when you're 5 or 6 years old and ends up getting having another younger girlfriend and then having a few different partners. You grow up with the perception and a wounding of the masculine. And so that wounding of the masculine stays in your field. And it's an adult. And what happens as an adult? Well, through the law of attraction, of course, you end up attracting that same frequency of pain in your system. So you end up attracting relationships that are the same pattern as your father was with your mother. And you keep attracting those same different men, looking, hopefully finding someone who's finally going to look after you, but that doesn't happen until you clear the wounding. And so what happens, you have to actually go into the wound and process the emotional stored pain in the wound to open it up, to allow it to leave your system, so that then you can not have that trapped emotional pain that you have with your father that is creating the attractive field for all your future relationships. And that opens up, and you kind of end up creating a new field of energy that allows new potentials from the field to arise, till you end up attracting your beloved, because you're not in that wounded state of your father wounding. So we all of us carry woundings, and the path of the healing arts is to go into the shadows and find those wounds and to open them up, to allow them to leave, kind of integrate. And then what happens naturally is more of your soul essence naturally comes back, because with each wounding is a little bit of your soul essence which gets fractured off, and you lose a little bit of your shine. That's why in a big process, and we've seen some massive processes in our neo-shamanic, you know, when we get together people live, it's just incredible. The shine comes back. You see the shine in someone's eyes. You can see the shine in people who have been working on themselves. When you meet them, they're bright. They look bright. That's because they've retrieved more of their soul essence from the woundings that every single one of us have faced. Even if you've had a good upbringing, you still face it, because we're talking not with the personality, the soul. So.
Yes, we want everyone to shine, right? And before you go, I want to highlight that you have put together, you've compiled some clearings, some quantum encoded recordings that contain all of these energy clearings that will help people shine in this way. And people can find them at straighttalkforthesoul.com. Click on our marketplace. You'll see Christoph's smiling face. Click on that, and it's called the Ultimate Clearing Protocol. And there are...
That's designed to, you know, fix up all of your energy centers to provide the clearing, coding, consciousness and transmission to holographically go back and do that. And this is something you can have for life. You know, every time you get triggered, you know, just figure out which chakra the issue is about and run the clearing with the intent to clear what you found, and it will go through and clean it. you know, I just get, you know, so, I get so many emails each week from people just so thankful that they're, you know, they're going through it. And hopefully this conversation today provides a little bit of intellectual framework to, you know, how that works and how it's going on. And, you know, if you feel guided and you would like that support, it's kind of like your, you know, a lifelong medicine cabinet you can kind of get.
Yes, there's a lot in there. So I appreciate you compiling that for our community here and for sharing everything that you did today, Christoph. It was, you know, you've been on the show many, many times, and this was a very transparent you that I loved. And I think it really helped a lot of people to hear everything you've been through. So thank you for sharing.
Great. So glad. And I guess the last piece is that we were going to also just quickly share that, you know, if you are interested in learning some of the things I've been talking about in the healing arts, you know, and to start a journey within the Oceanic Society. I do onboard a sort of a taster session, 6-week program. The next one, I believe, is the 11th of the 11th. I'll be onboarding the next one, so there'll be a free webinar. I think, yeah. Carrie, you said you're going to do a little promo for that.
I'm going to let you guys know how to be a part of that, of this free training. If you are interested in the healing arts and a life path in the healing arts and learning more, Christoph will be doing this free training on 11/11. So I will let you guys know how to sign up for that. And Christoph, my dear, thank you for everything. Any final message before we say goodbye to you?
Yeah, thank you. I'd love to share one final piece. Now, my final piece is very simple statement that's actually forming a little mantra for my new website when it comes out. Leader of one, leader of many. If you can't lead one, you can't lead any. It's just a beautiful piece to say that all healing starts within. And as you start to work more on yourself, naturally you'll start to be able to heal more people. And ultimately, you know, to reach more people and touch more lives, you just have to heal yourself and then shine your consciousness. And then gradually you'll work it out, how to piece it all together, just like I did, you know, right? You know, and that's, it's a path. And to celebrate where you're at, not to be disappointed where you're at compared to anyone else, because you can't compare yourself to anyone else. You can only compare yourself to where you are today to where you were last year, and then where you are today to where you are next year. So compare yourself to yourself, lead yourself into the healing pathway, and you will emerge into a life less ordinary, into a life so spectacular you can scarcely believe it with that commitment. It's what happened to me, and I know it can happen to you if you fully commit. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Christoph. Lots of love to you and the family.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Sending you all my love.
Okay, I'll talk with you soon. And to everybody who's joined us, Christoph has to head out, but I want to just highlight his beautiful offering. It is the Ultimate Clearing Protocol. This is a series of energy transmissions. They're designed to clear the multidimensional anatomy. So any of the discordances that we were talking about, that he was really going into depth with, that might be preventing you from actualizing or realizing your highest vision, start to clear those. And there's a lot in this package. So it's something you can start working on. And if you're resonating with this whole healing arts pathway, I'll be sending out information about how to join that free training of his soon. So I hope you guys really enjoyed this. I know that we didn't have time to take callers today, but we wanted to let Christoph go ahead and really get through a lot of that information and through a lot of his own story, which I hope was helpful for all of you to hear, because all of us, this journey is a process for all of us. It may appear that it isn't for some of us who are speakers or whatever and more of a public a setting. And so we're all going through this process together. So never feel like this isn't for you. You wouldn't be in this community if you weren't a healer. Your energy is all of you. It's so beautiful. So thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you for the gift of your time, your love, your presence, and your openness. We appreciate you so much. And again, if you want to take this journey with Christoph further, you can identify these limiting patterns. You can clear yourself on all these levels of old programming to upgrade that software within you, and really illuminate the pure path to your soul's ascension. Thank you all for being here. As we bring the show to a close, please be beautiful with yourself. Be beautiful with one another. That is the embodiment of the beauty way, a Lemurian way of being that I love so much. And I hope that you feel relieved, you feel empowered, you feel uplifted after our time together today. Please remember that you are brilliant, you are resilient, and I appreciate and love you all. Thank you for joining us on this soulful adventure today. I am sending waves and waves of new earth, grace and glory and gratitude from my heart to yours. May you feel it, receive it, and please offer it to those you encounter today or tonight, wherever you happen to be in the world. And as always, until next time, please give yourself full permission to shine instead of shrink, express instead of suppress, and own that amazing, powerful glow of yours. I'll see you all back here in this playground of light next time. Bye, everyone.